And now, courtesy of the 11L Network, it's LF Midwood.
LF Midwood.
And the Midwood Files. With the LF Midwood Experience. Here on Radio New York International.
Welcome to the August 23rd, 2020 edition. It's not smooth. It's like, anyway, I have to figure out how to do that. You know, I get this thing, like people talk to me every now and then about the idea of like, well, why don't you just number the podcast? So now the date becomes like kind of irrelevant. And I kind of thought about that. And I, you know, now it would be like, I had to start like all over and go back. And not for nothing, the producer has really done a great job of maintaining the website. Switched over to those that in-page player, you know, the in-post player, which I liked. We went back to that. And that meant she had to go back and link up all that other stuff. It's work. So I don't know if I want to create any more work. Not for nothing. So I think I'll just stick by the date. You know, not for nothing. But I have given it some thought, and who knows? Like, if I start to do a little bit of video, for YouTube, socially presentable video, whatever that entails, I guess that would mean no music. Not that I've played any music in a while. Maybe next week. I was this close. I was actually, you know, it is every show day I listen to music, one way or another. Like on a Saturday, sometimes it's to pick stuff. Other times it's just to listen to the stuff. And I was kind of in the mood. To maybe, you know, edit some music and whatnot. And then I started playing The Cure. And not so much. So, that being said, welcome to Midwood Files. My name is LF Midwood. I am, I'm pleased to report that I actually feel pretty decent. I feel pretty, I would go so far as to say I feel pretty good. Yeah, I know, right? Amazing. I think it's because the weather was a bit cooler this week. I'm not 100% sure. I am mostly air conditioned anyway, so I don't know how relevant that becomes. But, and I did have an appointment. I had to go see my nurse practitioner, who's basically my GP. My diabetes is still at 6.5, the A1C, I think, which is pretty good. It stayed solid. I want to get it back down to 6.3, you know. But 6.5, I'll take 6.5. Anything under 7, and I'm doing okay. And everything else was all right, you know. Not mostly, you know, I go into these places, and it's doctor's offices and whatnot, and it happened to be raining that day, on and off, you know, so it was very humid. And I'm sitting in his office, and she wants you to wear the mask. So her assistant there, the nurse, told me that, because I took the mask off when I was talking to the nurse, and this is in the exam room. And she says, well, when your doctor comes in, you know, Katie is her name, when she comes in, she wants you to put the mask on, and she'll wear a mask too. And I'm like, all right, you know. So I figure I practice. Now, I got these lighter weight masks. We had these, like, really sewn, tailored masks that were, like, super thick. I mean, like, ridiculously thick. So they were kind of hard to deal with. And the producer picked up some thinner stuff, some thinner black ones that appear to do the job rather nicely. I think maybe we'll get more of those because we only got three. She was like, I want to buy 20 of them. And I was like, you know what? Why don't you make sure it works? Why don't you make sure it's good? So now that it's all good, we can go and we can buy more masks. But so I got this black mask on, and it's still stuffy because there's nothing going on, no airflow in the room, and I start to sweat. I mean, I sweat. You know, when I get hot, I sweat. I'm a sweater, definitely 100%. By the time Katie comes in, it looks like I was like on the Titanic or something. It was really shit. Are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm just kind of waiting on you. Am I okay? Because I'm thinking maybe she thinks that, you know, they let me slip by without giving me a temperature test, you know, because, you know, they do the surface thermometer thing to make sure that you're... And my temperature was fine. My metabolism is such as I sweat. And that's why it's rather easy for me, if I actually do become reasonably active, to lose weight. which I'm probably going to want to do probably soon, and or it's going to happen when I get to Texas anyway. So, you know, speaking of Texas, you know, I got this hat. I bought this boonie hat. It's a Columbia Bora Bora hat, I think it's called. And I like it. I like the color, and it's a boonie hat. So it's this big-ass floppy hat, and it's probably a little bit more floppier. It looks like a guy's sun hat. It really honestly does. It's got vents on the side, which is nice. And it's got the actual brim. It's pretty, you know, 3 inches, 3.5 inches, maybe 4 inches, something like that. Super floppy. It's just so soft and whatnot. So I think I'm going to start practicing wearing that because I'm going to need something. I'm not a young man anymore. Last time I was there, I think I had a little bit more hair on my head, although I had already obviously started to, my bald spot has already started to come in. So I got this hat, and I'm real cool. And I tell you the truth, the main reason I got the hat, this is really funny. I got it for Texas, so it's thinking long run with it, right? But I got it because I got my camera. My camera finally arrived. And I was out in the sun taking some pictures of the front of the house for to show somebody how bad the shrubbery has gotten, particularly the one that's going up the side. And it's like, feed me, Morris. Seymour, feed me. So I'm out there, and I'm like, wow, there's a lot of friggin' sun. And I want something where I could kind of minimize the amount of sun that I have on me while I'm taking pictures. So that's going to be its immediate use. And the thing of it is, you know, this is really interesting. I was having this conversation very briefly with the producer. I've always been a reasonably vain person. This is, I mean, being an Aries, it's just a nature, you know. And I've always been reasonably vain in addition to, you know, because you never know, you just want to present, you know, as best you can, you know what I mean? Like, if they're going to find something wrong with you, let it not be the way you look. You know what I'm saying? There's plenty of other things for a person not to like me. That's fine. But I didn't want someone to look at me and go, oh, you know, I've never really been that way. But I'm thinking with this big floppy hat, because that's what it is. It's a big-ass floppy hat. I'm looking at myself in the mirror, and I'm like, you know what? You know what, Midward? I just don't care anymore, man. I just, you know, and it's not like I'm letting myself go. That's not what I mean to say. What I mean to say is I guess it's more about comfort than it is about, you know, the idea of being, for lack of a better term, attractive. Although I suppose that's what I am meaning to infer. Yeah, I just don't, you know what I mean? It's just like I'm going to put this floppy hat on, it's going to keep the sun off my head, and I'm not going to get sunstroke. That's all I really care about, because I am prone to get, like, heat stroke and sunstroke and stuff like that. Yeah, I a few times I was out there clipping the very same hedges that I've been talking about in front of the house, and I got sunstroke, and I almost threw up, and it shakes. It's horrible. It's horrible. And like I said, I know it's going to be like a lifestyle in Texas where I'm just going to need something on my dome, but I got it primarily initially for the camera, which may be funny. I think it's called, the color's called Grill, but it's like a kind of a grayish with a tad of blue in there. I kind of like it, you know, like I said, and it's light, it's super light. So I guess I'll be wearing that for a while because, you know, I got hats, man. I got baseball caps coming up the wazoo, you know, I have multiple Knick caps, St. John's, you know. As well, and I got other baseball caps. I got quarter of baseball caps. I got solid quarter, and then quarter with a thing. Quarter, you know, the stuff they make the bags out of. I forget who made that, but it was one of the military guys. It was one of those, like, companies that makes bags and stuff. I got two of those. I got a winter one, and I got a summer one. And I got, like, newsboy caps. I had the one that I got one custom made from, well, I wouldn't say super custom made, but at least it was made to order from a company that, and I wear that every now and then. I got a pork pie. I got a nice pork pie, like an all weather pork pie, which is basically the same hat that Walter White wore in Breaking Bad, you know. And I got one of those in leather as well. So I got no shortage of hats, you know, and I've always considered myself to be, like, reasonably fashionable. You know, like, I wore that pork pie to my mom's funeral. I mean, actually, that day of the funeral with my leather jacket. And it was like a vibe, you know what I mean? I all of a sudden felt like my 30-year-old self for a little bit. And then it quickly passed. But, yeah, I don't, you know, so I have a hat collection. I really do. But I want something like I can wear all the friggin' time. And baseball caps don't do anything for your neck and whatnot. And I've wore baseball caps there, and I've, like, basically decimated them because of my whole sweat thing. So they start to deteriorate. They literally start to deteriorate. This hat looks like it could, and again, it's the Columbia Bora Bora. Got it on Amazon, so in case anybody's interested. But that's what I'm going to be protecting my dome with, because I honestly need to protect my dome. I never really thought about it until, like, you know, relatively last couple of years, which is really funny. But, yeah, I don't care anymore. You know, my jeans are a little bit more comfortable. They're large. They're oversized, so I'm comfy, you know. And I wear rubber shoes all year long. They're kind of like Crocs, but not Crocs. Although I actually do have a pair of Crocs, black Crocs, too. I like closed toe. Because I don't want people dealing with, you know, staring at my my toenails. It just freaks me out. So, yeah, I mean, I just like to be, like, freaking comfortable, you know? And I really am a T-shirt person historically, but I want to get some button-down shirts. But short-sleeve stuff. You know, like bowling shirts. And I'm more like maybe, Dickies. Some of those Dickies short-sleeve shirts will be fine. Because I'm in Texas, man. It's going to be hot. It's going to be like, oh, my God. You know, I think I was talking to the cousin there, or I was actually texting with her last week, and they hit like 110. It's like 110 a week ago, so it's like, yeah, you know what? I don't think so. But they got a pool. It's not a ginormous pool. It's not an underground pool, but it's a pool, which is really kind of cool. So I'm gonna kind of look forward to going in from the pool into the air conditioning, from the pool into the air conditioning, that sort of deal, because. Yeah, and with my hat, with my floppy hat, and as far as the camera goes, let me tell you something. This is a lot of freaking camera. This is like in somewhere between enthusiast and pro level is where they put this camera on the skill set level, which is really interesting because, you know, the vast majority of my life, it's been point and shoot. I've always had like a Canon, like the sure shots, like the early sure shots, you know. I always had, like, point and shoot, just point the damn thing and go. And then the same thing with, like, cameras, you know, or I should say phones, you know, the things on phones are, like, well, they're, like, mirrorless, obviously, on phones, you know. So the idea of going back to, like, a real, seriously grown-up camera is, like, oh, my God. And, you know, it's, like, I'm shooting on auto right now, but I'll move off of it quick enough, you know. It's I want to carry the damn thing around with me, so I have to get another smaller bag for it. And just carry that small bag around. Because I have a bag. I have like a EDC everyday carry bag that's got like tons of stuff in it. It's way too much stuff in it that I historically had always carried around. It's like a mini messenger bag. Actually, if you head over to my Instagram, I think there's a picture of it on my Instagram. You have to sift through the photos. But it's like a couple years old. I put it up there, so it can't be super far down. So now I've been leaving that, though. I've been leaving that at home, and I just really been traveling light mainly because of my back, more than anything else. And now my back is actually starting to feel okay, not great, but okay. But I want to carry the camera with me because I want to be able to take pictures, like when there's an opportunity presents itself. Because that's what it is with photography. I mean, I didn't really get this for family. I mean, plenty of guys, plenty of people, you know, they go buy cameras and they want to take pictures of their kids or reunions or whatever the story may be. And I'm sure there'll be some of that as well too. Particularly once I'm in Texas. But I bought it because I'm interested in photography as a medium, as a visual medium. Because I figure, you know, and particularly the video elements, because this camera, and again, this is the 90D, the Canon 90D, is real good on the video side. Really good. It's not, you know, there's nothing out there that's perfect unless you're going to pay thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And that didn't happen. This is not a thousands. This camera is like I think it runs between $1,300 and $1,500. So it's a little bit. It's obviously, but it's, you know what? It's like the idea of a computer. You know, you go out and you buy a computer for that much. I could have put together a really nice computer for that kind of money. And I actually today is the first time I actually looked at, like, because I have a 6-core processor. I have that 8700, the i7 8700, and it's unlocked. Just for shits and giggles, I went go looking to see what the 8 core is, because it's an 8-core i7 and there's an 8-core i9 that's on the same socket, and they're like respectively. I think the 7 was 350, and I think the other one, the i9, was 450. And I was looking at those real hard because I go, all of a sudden I could pop those into my box, and then all of a sudden I'm going that much faster. But you know what? And with everything, but I don't really need it. I'm going as fast as I need to go. I don't run a whole lot of software. I can, obviously. As a matter of fact, I got a subscription to Lightroom that included the downloading of the software and whatnot. That's the Adobe Lightroom and Photoshop. I mean, I figure I might as well if I'm going to take this reasonably seriously. And they open and run fine. super fast. So, I mean, you know, remember the old days, and I was going to talk about this, the old days where, you know, oh, how fast Office opened was a real indicator of how fast your machine was. It's like, oh, yeah, it takes me 15 seconds to open Office. You know, when you had it down to like, boop, 5 seconds, I was like, yeah. Now, to me, it's like almost like diminishing returns, you know? I don't even think streaming uses more than one core at a time. I'm not really 100. I don't know if that stuff's hyper-threaded. I'm not even really 100% sure. But I guess eventually I'll find out. I haven't done any video at all. Everything's been photography. And the thing of it is I want to be able to walk around and such. But I can't walk around here because I'm in the middle of a ghetto. And not that there wouldn't necessarily be interesting stuff to shoot, but I don't want to be walking around a ghetto with a camera around my neck. You know, with an expensive camera around my neck, no less. I'm stupid, but I'm not that stupid. So I kind of have to, I guess I'll get my aunt to drive me around. And, you know, interesting, the light, not for nothing, this is a little message for the producer if she's listening. The light for the other cam is on, the orange light, and I don't know what that's all about. I just noticed it at the corner of my eye. We have multiple cams in here. But, yeah, I do want to, you know, there's only so much I can do from my porch, you know. So I think I'm going to have my aunt drive me around, and I want to take, like, pictures of stuff before I leave, like certain places and things of that nature, monuments, for lack of a better term, locale, so that I have that stuff, you know, because I've been here 11 years, and I pretty much know where stuff is, that I would be interested in taking photos of where it is. You know, it's, like I said, because in New York City, you can just kind of, you know, wander around. You know, and that's the thing. I want to get a smaller lens. I want to get a 24-millimeter. 24-millimeter prime, what they call the pancake lens. It's like an inch and change. You throw that on the camera, and you don't even really know it's there other than the fact that the camera is pretty honking big. I mean, it's not ginormous, but it's pretty big. It's obtrusive. Obtrusive? That's not the word. It's conspicuous. Yeah, how's that? But you can get away with stuff like that in New York. And I assume there's going to be plenty of stuff to shoot between Austin and Page, which is where I'm actually going to be. It's like that 50 miles, that 40, 50 miles in everyday life. But you got, like I said, you got to have the camera with you. It's like that much of a commitment. Like, oh, I'm going to pull a camera out today. So I pretty much won't leave the house without the camera, which is fine. Because like I said, I got a little bag coming tomorrow for it. And I can stuff like the camera in there and with one of the extended lenses. And I'm good to go. I got to use the kit lens that came with it. Which is the, I guess, the 18 to 55. So, yeah, I'm relatively enthused. You know, again, it's a commitment. Like anything else, it's a commitment to a hobby. I mean, you have to do it all, like, consistently on a regular basis. Otherwise, what's the point? You know, it's even like the scanners. Like, you know what? I still have the scanners on for a little bit every day. And that comes and goes. I always kind of knew it. Basically, I'm bored with the system here. I'm bored with the RISD here, and I'm tired of listening to Providence Police. I know what it sounds like. Although, you know, it's interestingly enough, you know, as far as being bored with things in the police goes, I think we had like our fifth homicide in like 2 weeks or something, which is, you know, I mean, when you talk about places like New York City homicide rates being up, and they are obviously up, and various other cities, inner cities, you know, Chicago, we could talk about all day. It's crazy, right? But when, like, Providence, Rhode Island winds up with, like, 5 in, like, 2 weeks, 10 days, you know something's seriously wrong. You know, I'm thinking, and I don't want to get into news too much. I really don't want to get into news at all. But, it begs the question, is the way that, these inner cities, you know, now it would be Portland and other places out west. I guess because Portland's like the bad place right now. But, you know, places like Oakland, California, you're just always waiting for something bad to happen in Oakland. The question, because Chicago, like I said, the question becomes is the message to the criminal element. That's the only term I could think to describe what I'm trying to, because it transcends race. You know what I mean? Is the message to the criminal element who is witnessing how these inner city police departments and mayors and on a higher level, the governors are not dealing with violent crime and excusing it, you know, making excuses for it and exonerating it in some cases and even refusing to prosecute it. I think the prosecutor in Oregon, or at least in Portland, the DA there, they set a threshold for what they're willing to prosecute and what they're willing to not. And a lot of that protest stuff winds up on, even with violence involved, even winds up on the not side, which is, we're not going to prosecute that. So does this send a message? Is that what's happening? Because you look at somewhere like New York, and New York was doing pretty good for a couple of few years there. I mean, you know, considering the size of the city, and none of that Metroplex bullshit. I mean, the actual size of the city, the five boroughs, homicides were down. They weren't really, I think, year after year after year, they were really kind of low. And obviously, they're jacked up. You know, all this talk of defunding police and, you know, I can kind of talk about the Austin situation, because, I mean, I having family right there and now even talking about the idea of moving there myself, I obviously have an interest in what's going on in Austin. And Austin has the reputation of being where the hippie bus broke down, and for lack of a better term. It's been like that forever. They were talking about defunding the police by about 1.5 mil, which is a lot of money for that police department, unless I'm mistaken, and I don't believe I am. And that was by the city council that decided to do that. So what Governor Abbott did is he turned around and he said, well, any city that defunds their police department is getting their tax rate, you know, what they can charge for property tax, frozen. Frozen. So I don't know how high they are, but I mean, that would actually be, one, be a deterrent, and two, it would be good news, because property tax, you know, not for nothing, that's where, you know, the municipalities wind up making the vast majority of their money. It's probably, you know, state income tax is a joke. You know, even federal income taxes, you know, the idea becomes it's property tax. It's taxing of the property, you know, where they come in and they do the estimate on the square foot thing, and then I guess they do it with vehicles as well, too, depending upon what the circumstances. But that's where they make the vast majority of their money, meaning the municipalities. So it's kind of interesting what Governor Abbott did there. So I'm like, yeah, I know that was earlier in the week, so, and I really haven't been really paying too much attention to the news at all. You know, when I go into that mode, I kind of go into that mode. When I wake up, I watch maybe 15 minutes of Fox or 15 minutes of America One News, depending upon which one is boring me least. And, you know, and that's really it for news. Unless, you know, I get updates on my phone all the time. It's interesting. Jesse Waters over at Fox had the dude who got beat up. This is the dude in Portland. I think someone was being attacked by some protesters, some BLM protesters, or at least the people who appeared to be associated with BLM. And he broke it up. The guy broke it up, but then he got in his truck to leave, and his truck wouldn't start. So they dragged him out of the truck and started beating him up a little bit, like, you know, Reginald Denny style. You know, let's not forget Reginald Denny. That's Afro-Americans at their best. Yeah, Reginald Denny. And they beat the crap out of him, and he was on with Waters, and, you know, he's got the raccoon eyes, you know, from that much. And I believe the guy who actually, because he was kicked in the head, the whole thing was filmed. That's the great thing about our technology now, you know, where the idea becomes everything's on video. I mean, it changed for the police, but it changed for everybody else as well, too, not for nothing. We live in a very media, you know, a citizen journalist media age, where you could just, you put something up, and that's it. I mean, it's viral, it's done. Which is actually kind of good. I kind of like that, but it also, a lot of times there isn't any context to videos. There isn't any context to, like, clips and whatnot. Or worse, there were at one point in time, and it was edited in such a way to be presented to back up a narrative. I'm going to have a little drink here. I got this diet iced tea stuff, this Crystal Light. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, before I forget, this is really big news. Apparently, the Black & Decker coffee maker downstairs, you know, we bought it about 3 years ago, I think we got it. Yeah, and it's black and silver, and it's got the thermal carafe and all that. It looks like it's given up the ghost. It looks like it's no longer working. And yes, we did do the vinegar thing. We put the vinegar in the water, and we let it sit, and then we tried to start it up again, and it gurgles a little bit, and the water gets hot, but there doesn't seem to be anything going on with it. So I gave the producer to go ahead and get one of those get a foodie, you know, because he's on that big ninja foodie kick. We just got the hot and cold blender today, not for nothing, speaking of foodie. I can make soup in it. It's like, okay, fine. whatever makes you happy, right? So I told her to get, and we went up to the website. We were looking around, and they have like this $250 coffee machine that like it's got like a frother, and it's just, you know, and it's like, you know what? I guess I'm at that point. That's another thing where it's like, I kind of like, yeah, maybe I want to have a cappuccino every now and then, you know what I mean? Maybe I want to have like a latte, you know, maybe it's, and the only places I can really get those is over at Starbucks for the most part, you know, because we don't have a lot of high-end coffee places here. So maybe I will start to engage in those every now and then, because, you know, there's regular coffee, which is fine, which I should drink less of, because it's counterproductive to my medication process, if you stop and think about it. I should say, if I stop and think about it. But you know what? I like to, every now and then, I like to have, you know? So I think I might cut down on the coffee in the house. But we were, so I said, you know what? And it's not, at this point in time, I tell you the truth, with the foodie stuff, it's not even the money. You know, they get good reviews. The stuff is built well. It's just like, did I really need that helicopter looking fucking thing in, to make coffee? That's really not the way to put it. So we got the basic model, which was still like $80. I think it was like, yeah, $80-85 shipped. And it's got a glass carafe, but we're going to save the carafe from the other one and maybe pour the coffee in there and insulate it. It'll last for a little while. Those carafe things are great. We were doing that back in Texas. We had a red one and a green one, I think we bought. Or maybe it was just a green one. Yeah, maybe it was just a green one. And we used to brew coffee, because that's it. You could brew coffee in a $10 coffee machine and then transfer it over to the carafe, and now you're not, you don't have that hot plate, because it's always that friggin' hot plate that goes on these damn coffee machines. And we got 3 years out of it. And I don't know if any of you remember, but this was, I was going through quite the dilemma in regards to when I started to do research on coffee machines. You know, it turned into a rabbit hole. And the message that came out of it for me, you know, the takeaway, as they say, was that it doesn't really matter what coffee machine you buy. You're only going to get 3-4 years out of it. And it's like, you know, because, again, this goes into, like, being a kid. And, you know, things are changing. You know, I mean, I know. I'm aware of it. I don't live in such a bubble as to not be aware of things. But this whole, you know, there are certain things that, like, to me, denote, like, passage of time. You know, what the idea you can get a Mr. Coffee machine, you know, Joe DiMaggio, Mr. Coffee, and get one of those machines and have it for 15 years. You know, it was not uncommon. I mean, you know, and I'm talking about like heavy usage. I know people put heavy usage on those machines, and they had them 15 years. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine about air conditioners. And he's got central, but there's issues, so he's not running it. And he got a couple of room air conditioners. So he's got a 10,000 BTU in the larger area, and that seems to be doing a pretty adequate job. And he's got a smaller one, like a 5.8, less than a 6, in a bedroom, and it's like an icebox in there, and it's a pretty big bedroom. So it's real interesting, the variance in these units. But he was telling me, I think it was Chrysler. I think he said Chrysler, you know, like the car company Chrysler, used to make air conditioners back in the day, and his grandparents had one. And it was ginormous. It was like 16,000, 18,000 BTU, and it ran forever. It ran for friggin' ever. You know, they had that thing, like, he remembers them having that thing like 20 years. And I'm like, wow, that's like pretty crazy if you stop and think about it. But I suppose it's possible, because if it's a seasonal thing, you know, and it certainly doesn't speak to efficiency. I mean, you know, because they're always putting more and more efficient units out. Like, I was pretty shocked. We'd run the air conditioner in the studio, which you may or may not be able to hear thanks to my noise gate. And the big one in the bedroom, and we're in them like 24/7. I'm not one of those guys, oh, let me put it on Echo and the thing and Eco and all, oh, the fan will go off and it'll go back on. I'm like, put the fucking air conditioner on and leave the fucking air conditioner on. That's pretty much how I am. You want to set the thermostat? Fine, set the thermostat. You know what I'm saying? We're going to set it to like 72 to start. Let's get the ball rolling with 72. If everything's comfy at 72, we're good. If not, hey, then we drop down to 70. We do it by 2 from there. You know, you got to be comfortable. That goes back to that being sweaty, fat thing again. But I sweat when I'm skinny, so it doesn't really matter. If I sweat enough, I will become skinny again. That's actually what the hope is. But yeah, you know, air conditioners from the day and just stuff, man. Television sets and not for nothing. To a certain degree, you know, relationships with people were different back then, because you really didn't have this large social media. You know, things were a lot more local. You know, they were the people you knew. You know, and you didn't even see all the people that you knew all the time. Some people you'd only see during holidays, you know, thank God. You know, or you never saw all your friends all at one time. You know, it was just like kind of, you know, and there was television, obviously. I mean, I'm not that old, and obviously radio, but things were smaller. They were more, for lack of a better term, they were more intimate. human connections, they meant something. They had more umphy to them. You know, they had more value. Yeah, how's that for a word? More value. Now, you know, I don't. It's insane that the level of interaction, instantaneous, and that, you know, not for nothing, that just feeds more the idea of more lack of patience. You know, where it's, again, it's like give me, more and more as time goes by, because things are so instantaneous. You know, it just boggles my mind. You know, and again, it's like all technology. It's all tech, being tech driven for the most part. But I think we're deteriorating. I think as our ability to actually socialize in person, I think it kind of deteriorates. You know, the idea, and this is what bothers me about Black Lives Matter to a certain degree, and, you know, and the underwriting Marxism that they ride on top of, is the lack of the family unit. You know, now everybody's family unit, I understand, because, again, you know, I went through the Janie Has Two Mommies and all that bullshit. That curriculum started while I was still in junior high school. Still in junior high school. So that's running 35, over 30, 37 years, maybe close to 40 years, you know. And I came from a divorced home. You know, I've explained this before. I was a latchkey child when I turned 12, as soon as I turned 12. So I get that, quote unquote, all families are different. But, you know, the idea becomes is I think part of the social fabric of America has always been the family unit. I mean, it's the smallest nucleus you get without being just people individually, in which case now you're thinking on selfish terms, strictly on your own selfish terms. So I don't even count that. So the smallest molecular unit of people are in some sort of ecosystem together, in some sort of cooperative, some like it, some don't. Teenagers are tough. It's a family unit. It's literally the fabric of America in that regard. I think I just said that. It's true, though. And the idea of God, you know, that's a big one, too, not for nothing, you know. I talk about all the time with, you know, when Johnson, you know, President Johnson, when he made it profitable for there to be no man in the household, in Afro-American households, things went to shit. Things went to absolute shit, where you have a whole generation. You know, you talk about these lost generations from, like, World War One. In World War II, this whole existential crisis thing, you know, and then you sit here and you're like, yeah, but what about the generation that got lost here when the Great Society rolled out? You know, I'm still trying to figure out exactly what it made great and who it benefited. I'm still trying to figure that one out. But yeah, you know, God and family, God, family, and country. I mean, I think that's pretty honking succinct, you know, and I think that there's been a slow erosion at that. You know, I think feminism has chipped away at that over the years in regards to what the family unit should look like. You know, the idea of the nuclear family. I think the fact is evident in, or the case is evident in the fact that the birth rates are low in the United States. You know, people just aren't reproducing. You know, and there's been that 80s, you know, you go into that 80s and the living excessively. And now how different is that, really? We kind of just got, we pitched the speed up back in the 80s and we've been incrementally increasing it. We haven't been decreasing it as far as like what's acceptable. I mean, yeah, not for nothing, I used to be a fucking loudmouth punk too. You know, I was a real asshole. Some people will tell you I still am, and there might be some valid thought to that, although it's debatable. And I'd be happy to debate it with you anytime you want. But, you know, that being said, you know, I find myself, when I got to a certain point, and this was a slow process, I got to that point where it's like, you know what, stop the ride, I want to get off. I mean, I kind of realized, you know, what was going on. And then then we talk about all the time with these millennials, right, with the millennials, who are in their 40s now, by the way, 30s and 40s. Yeah. And then Zs. They call them Zoomers? Zoomers? Is that what it is? I think I finally heard that somewhere. I think they're referred to as Zoomers. I can't imagine what it's like to live in a world where, it's as far as they know, it's always been like this. As far as they've been alive, it's always been like this. I guess you could arguably say the same thing with the Cold War and like I've always lived under the threat of nuclear annihilation, and it's never really it's never really bothered me because I've always lived under the threat. But if you go back and you go into the 60s, where they were doing these drills and all sorts of stuff, they were scaring the crap out of kids and adults. They were scaring the crap out of everybody, quite frankly. I mean, I don't know what it's like not to have that looming. And that's a pretty big thing, man. You know, somebody gets pissed off, pushes the button, it's all over. Or something by accident. Let's talk about the movie Failsafe with Henry Fonda, which was parodied in slight by Dr. Strangelove, by the way. I started thinking on Kubrick this week. I might mention that when I'm done with this, whatever this is. They don't know. They have no idea. The Zoomers have no idea what it's like to actually live without all this connection, without all these wires and this wireless and this constant instant gratification, push a button, society. They don't know. They don't know. And, you know, I say it all the time, and it's the technology is only as good as what it's utilized for. I think one of the worst scourges of mankind is Facebook stories. I think the stories thing is starting to get on my nerves with people updating their stories. You know what? I'm not interested in your fucking story. I'm very interested in having you on my feed, let alone your story. You know, but people, and I think it's like if there's an event, you know, it's like when I went down to New York a couple of years ago, because stories were new then, I was thinking about, hey, maybe I'll do that, because I could kind of chronicle my little trip back to New York, you know. But I decided against it. I think I took one or two photos when on that whole thing, and then I uploaded them to like Instagram or Facebook. I don't remember. Maybe both. But now people are using stories to like, you know, oh, just to get up out of bed and go into the kitchen and then in the bathroom. It's like, it's just minutiae. It's just minutiae. And it's like, why couldn't just this change of status? Why couldn't just a change in status indicate that? Which was, again, there's way too many changes of status for my liking as well, too. But that's a whole other, you know, I have the choice. This is the thing. You say, oh, you don't have to be on Facebook. But not for nothing. In a way, you really kind of do. From the standpoint of that, you're not going to be able to be in contact with people like you used to, because supposedly, and I guess this is true, I don't know if it's true from my experience, but my circumstances, obviously not your average, you know, by any stretch of the imagination, but supposedly as you get older, you have less time for your friends. You know, maybe you got the job, got the family, you probably got a couple of kids, maybe you're divorced and you got to really pay attention to the kids, or maybe you're not, which is really nice, actually, and you're just, you know, being family oriented, and you just don't have a lot of time for the friends anymore, you know. So having Facebook to be able to, you know, keep tabs on people and, you know, stay in a larger community, I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. What I'm saying is that there's just the threshold for what people consider to be postable needs to change. It's almost like I think that you know, the ride, you have to be this tall to get on the ride. I think there should be like one of those or something, because people it's just there's no other word to describe it other than an inane. It's inane. You know, I do mostly reposting on my Facebook. Occasionally there'll be like an actual feed, you know, an actual post, because I think it should be an event. You know, and the idea of there being a status change every 20 minutes or your update, your story every couple of hours. What could possibly happen? And if something really interesting happened in your life, you really wouldn't even have time. You wouldn't have time. You know, like I take pictures of my food. I have a habit of doing that. Sometimes, and this is really funny, you might appreciate this. The last couple of months, when that situation has arisen, because, you know, I wind up going out, my aunt takes me out a lot, not for nothing. And Gina, and I, you know, Gina and I, but, you know, sometimes, like, mostly actually me by myself. So I'm sitting in restaurants with her, you know, which is, you know, now that we can do that here, I guess it's kind of cool. That's a whole other wrap. Maybe I'll talk about that for a couple minutes. But I've been so hungry that when my food arrives, I forget to take the picture and I eat it. And I don't think about it until I've eaten half of it. And I'm like, damn, I forgot to take the picture. So, you know, I guess maybe I'm no better. I guess I'm part of the problem that I'm talking about. But at least it's reasonably interesting. If all people did was take pictures of what they ate, you know, as long as it was like, you know, either something really good that they made at home or something that was in a restaurant, that's reasonably interesting to me. you know, I guess it, but it, what's not reasonably interesting to me is like how long it took you to get from the bedroom to the bathroom to the kitchen to your car. You know, it's, I don't know what it is that makes people, you know, and everybody now has an inflated sense of self-importance as a result of this, because now everything they do is postable. So if you post it, it must be important. So maybe people are validating their existence based upon these posts. I don't really know, you know, and like I've said time and time again, you know, a platform like Facebook, the only reason I stay on Facebook is because I got family and friends that I'm interested in, you know, in staying in contact with, you know, maybe not hearing all of their stuff all the time. You know, it's kind of like when you go over for the dinner and you're hanging out and it's like, oh, you want to see pictures of the kids? And it turns into a thing. It's kind of like that. I mean, I don't really want to see pictures of your kids, man. Well, you know, I'm sorry. I don't. And it's got nothing against kids. You know, earlier in life, I developed this reputation of not liking children, and I got really no problem with children, you know, as long as they're other people's. My issue has more to do with the fact that I didn't have a really good childhood, you know, for lack of a better term. I could have had a better childhood, well, which may probably an understatement, but still, I feel like being understated tonight. So, it's got nothing to do with kids. It's just like, I don't know how to relate to kids. You know, it's hard. I mean, because, you know, I'm a very verbal person, you know, and I tend to move. I'm very, very fast in my thought processes. And it's almost, again, it's like you have to be this tall to get on a ride. And maybe that's the theme for the night. And kids, like, you know, you got to explain. So, like, they'll ask you a question, and you'll answer the question, and then they'll ask you a question based upon the answer to the question. And I'm like, it's not even that I don't have patience. It's just like, I don't want to warp a child's mind. Do you know what I mean? I'm like the last guy that should be involved in preparing a child's mind to go out into the world. I'm like the last guy, you know, I'm just, because I'd be like, you know what? Fuck it. Just seriously, just, you know, whatever. There's nothing you're going to be able to do. You're going to die someday. It all sucks. I mean, you know, that's it. You'll probably get married and make someone miserable before that happens. But still, I don't know. You know what I mean? And I kind of feel bad. I kind of like, because I wish I had something. I wish I had good news to report. And I'm not a good liar. I think most of you who know me personally know I'm not a very good liar. And you know, you can't miss. I can't miss a, like, someone was like, God forbid a kid asked me about Santa Claus. I wouldn't know what to do. I'd have a panic attack. I wouldn't know how to handle it. I honestly wouldn't know how to handle it. So, you know, let alone what happens when people die or where do babies come from. Seriously, I'd be like, where have your parents been? Isn't that their job? Seriously, you shouldn't, the friends of the parents shouldn't be raising the kid. It should be the parents. That's what I think. So, yeah, that's a tough one. And, you know, I got one before I mention this. I don't remember my dreams in their entirety anymore. You know, I only remember little bits and pieces, right? But I remember being in a dream last night, and somehow, way, shape, or form, I found myself with a few other people who apparently I knew, at a mall, you know, like a shopping mall, but like an older type shopping mall, you know, like King's Plaza for you older Brooklyn guys there. And I'm walking by this place with these people, and I see John Lightning singing karaoke. Yeah. Yeah, and he sees me, and he freaks out, and I go, no, I'm just passing through. And he goes back to singing, and that was the end of it. So I don't know what that means. I have no clue what that means, but I just thought I'd put it out there because it's true. Speaking of, you know, not being able to lie. So, yeah, I mean, I'm just, you know, the summer, it was cooler this week. I do feel, like I said, I do feel better. I know I've been coming out here the last couple weeks. I feel horrible. I do. I feel better. We're going through this thing. UPS is turning into like a major pain in the ass as far as getting that stuff delivered to the house. It's turning into an exercise in frustration, which is really weird. So now it's like used to be, make sure they send it UPS because we know we had our UPS driver was like aces. Good guy. Bang on the door. He knew the deal. Whoever's taking over this route, not so much. So, you know, unless you're like there, right, happen to be right there on the porch when they show up, you're getting one of those little message thingies. And it's not good. I mean, I think it could be helpful if we woke up a bit earlier. I would just like to mention that to the producer again. Work that in there. But we'll have to see how that plays out. We'll definitely have to see that. But it's kind of like it's nerve-wracking. And you know, that's the whole thing about, you know, if I live somewhere where I didn't worry about have to worry about it and where the UPS driver didn't worry about it, he could leave the package in front of my door or he could leave it with a neighbor and we'd be square. You know what I mean? It would be fine. But we live in, again, we live in a pretty shitty place. You know, like if someone had tried to describe to me when I was a child what my life would have been like, was going to be like, I would have been like, get the fuck out of here. And that would have taken, it would have been self-fulfilling prophecy from that standpoint in time. Because it's like, yeah, the world's a real hard, cold place and it's going to break you into little pieces. It's like, really? Little pieces, you say? Man. I tell you, it's hard. That's all I can say. It's hard as an adult. And I guess, you know, and this is another part of, I think maybe why I want to try photography is I see the world differently than you do. I mean, I know most people, that nobody sees the world exactly the same way, although some do, I suppose. Due to my brain chemistry and my brain chemistry not being normal, I perceive everything differently than you do. I don't know if you've ever actually thought about that, but it's true. I'm curious. I know I can work a microphone. I know I can stream. I have a grasp on audio, and video presentation. But I'm curious about, how, I could have that, difference. The fact that I am different, manifest in a visual sense, you know, cause the only video I've ever really done here is, you know, obviously the talking head thing with my site behind me, which I like doing. I do enjoy doing that. And like I said, video may come back in some smaller format, shape, or form. Particularly, we're talking about getting a new camera for the studio as well. But I'm curious about, I'm curious about how I could kind of how I could visualize, you know what I mean? Like, what to me is worth framing and taking a shot of? You know, that's really what it comes down to. I mean, some stuff, it's just pretty, or it's like, but I wonder just like the day-to-day mundane stuff, you know? I wonder what that's going to be like, and I'm looking forward to it, you know. And I got a fair amount of stuff on my plate, you know, between this show, and I really should be doing a bit more production for this show. I should be running a little bit of music and looking for some royalty-free stuff that I wanted to maybe work with, and like I said, do something up on YouTube with some with limited video, a little bit of video. I got my scanners, which is like a full-time thing. I want to get back into cooking, you know. I got this move coming up. I mean, I'm, you know, so there's things. I got stuff on my plate, believe it or not. For a guy who doesn't do anything, I seem to be pretty busy most of the time. Either that or I've slept through the whole day. I do sleep way too much. It's, again, the producer and I have been like, lately, we've been sleeping. Because we take the Ambien. You take the Ambien, you're like, gone. Like, see you at 5 o'clock. All right. It's like that. It's really bad. I already talked about how my med switch is like kind of like, meh, I feel kind of meh about it. I don't feel like groovy. My blood pressure meds got put back up to like their normal full strength. I'll start taking those again in a couple of days at full strength, by the way. So I'm curious about how that'll play out. And you know what it is? And it's really annoying. And it's just this age thing, but I get tired. I get winded very quickly these days. And I think it's because I'm obese. I guess I don't know what the definition is, but I do remember last year, last September, they admitted me to the hospital because one of the underlying conditions was obesity. And I was like, what? Get out of here. But yeah, they're like, yeah. So I get tired. Like, we got the stairs here, and it's just hard coming up and down the stairs or just getting in and out of the car, you know, this stuff like that. It's like, So I think it's a combination of the meds slowing me down and just there being too much of me. Too much of me. Oh, and I was 250 on the Beezer, by the way, in case anybody's interested. I'm 6'3". So, again, it's not like I'm ginormously large or something. I'm just, you know, I have to lose some weight. I got a little fat here and there, and it's not good. At least my doctor didn't give me any crap about the weight. This was really good. We're too busy being distracted with the fact that I looked like I had swam the English Channel. In order to get there, that's how sweaty I was. And then I get out of there, right? And my aunt wants to go. She's hungry. She's first thing she says to me, because we had had like a bagel at Panera when, before the appointment. And then first thing she says to me when I get in the car is, I'm hungry. I'm like, all right, what do you want to? I wanted to go to Chili's because I wanted to get some of them chicken bobs again and all that iced tea that I could drink because I was, you know, basically seriously dehydrated. And there it turned out to be a place that she hadn't been to in like 20 years. It was like something in-house. No, an I-N-N-H-O-U-S-E kind of deal. And they're doing social distancing. So it's every other table. So, you know, you get in and they bring you in and sit down. And they have paper menus that are destroyable. You just destroy the paper menus when you're done. And they want you to keep, just like you keep the mask on until you get to your table. And then you can take it off. Which I still find okay. I ordered a Reuben sandwich. And I tell you, you know the thing about Reuben sandwiches? You forget this, but they pack a lot of flavor into a Reuben sandwich. You know, it doesn't have to be ginormous. You know, I remember those ones from the stage at the Carnegie with the big open face fuckers and the big aluminum plates. There was like 12-inch aluminum plate. It was ginormous. It was open face. You had the bread, the sauerkraut, the cheese, the corned beef, or pastrami, depending. Although technically it wouldn't be a Reuben with a pastrami thing. But anyway, that's a whole other thing. I'm a purist. I've always been. It wasn't a very big sandwich, but it was packed with flavor. I was like, oh my God, you know? And I think, oh, thank you God for helping me quit smoking because I can taste stuff again, you know? And it's interesting, speaking of sandwiches, because I know I mentioned last week that the producer and I were over at Wendy's in the parking lot eating a couple of chicken sandwiches, right? And we said that maybe we'd just go back there for our anniversary and have another chicken sandwich, you know? As it turns out, we went to the Mexican place. I think I described that last week. I think it was last week. Or the week before, I'm not even sure anymore. No, it had to be last week. Yeah, that makes sense. So I got a little hungry last night. And I'm like, oh, man, why don't you go get some of them chicken sandwiches? So she's like, eh. And then she's like, oh, all right. So she went to go got the chicken sandwiches. Now she gets the, you know, basically this is the thing. I'm giving up fast food burgers. This is what it is. I've given up fast food burgers. Can't take it anymore. Don't feel well. They don't make me feel good. I don't like the digestive process involved. it's not good for me. So there's chicken sandwiches all over the place. You know, you can get a decent chicken sandwich pretty much almost anywhere. But Wendy's has got the deal going with chicken, right? So she likes to get the plain ones. She gets the fried ones. They haven't brought, but we've been getting the fried ones. And there's like some, you know, pickle and lettuce and tomato on there, whatever she wants, right? And the ones I've been getting have been those jalapeno bacon cheese suckers, right? So I'm eating this thing last night. We're watching Frasier, right? And I'm eating this thing last night. And it's so hot. I mean, and I'm okay with heat. I mean, I'm no slouch when it comes to eating something hot. You know what I mean? So I'm eating. And I get to this one bite where it was so friggin' hot. But it's the kind of hot that you enjoy, that you really, really, really enjoy. Oh, just thought I'd share that moment with you. So I think bacon, I highly recommend the Wendy's chicken spicy thing. It's got bacon on it, and it's got cheese, and it's got, I think some of those fried onions, you know, the not fried onions, you know, the coated ones, you know, like the jerky ones. I don't know if that makes any sense to you. And some sort of sauce. There was a sauce involved. I'm not quite sure. I'm sure there was some heat in the sauce, too. And pickled jalapenos, you know, which is jalapenos or jalapenos. But anybody who has watched Star Trek, I'm not going to mention which series, would appreciate the jalapenos reference. So I always call them jalapenos. Damn good sandwich. Damn good sandwich. Got to tell you. So that's my find of the week, those chicken sandwiches. I'm like, ooh, chicken sandwich. So it's got to be better than burgers. And then eventually maybe I'll just move off of fast food entirely, which would be good. Because I'm going to start cooking when we get to Texas. I don't want to cook here. It's depressing. But when we get to Texas, I'm going to start cooking again. I'm a pretty good cook, not for nothing. And you could do worse than having me cook you a meal. I'm pretty overall decent, as they say. You know, and I enjoy it, you know, and it's good because you got to slow down and, you know what I mean? You get into the speed of it and there's like a cadence, there's like a rhythm to it, depending upon what you're making. And it's, you know, it's kind of cool. I like it. Yeah. And then I'm going to take pictures of the food that I cook. Hey, don't laugh. I've done that before. I'm just trying to think if there's anything else I wanted to really touch base on. This was more of a monologue-y week, not for nothing. I know I did some news last week. Is there anything ginormous in the news? I guess the DNC convention was obviously a bit on the comical side. I have to see what the Republicans do. The only thing I saw with the DNC was, like clips of stuff. So I haven't seen it in its full context, but, you know, it's like, you don't really need to. It's like Plan 9 from Outer Space kind of deal. And I'm interested in seeing what the Republicans come up with. And when I say come up with, I mean the idea of the format. You know, the idea. Now, not for nothing, this makes perfect sense to the Zoomers. Something like this, like, makes perfect sense to them. They're like, oh, yeah, wow, why? I don't understand why you people weren't doing this before. It is actually a pretty decent question. But anyway, so I know there's, I think the post office bill just left the house, in the house, so that may happen, may or may not happen. I don't know what's going on with unemployment. I'm not 100% sure with the extra stuff that the president signed the executive order on. I don't know. I'm trying to keep track of what he said he was going to do and how it's happening and whatnot. And I think that's complicated because a certain amount of it is up to the states, and it's turned into this like rigmarole. I know that infections are up in Rhode Island. Corona infections are up in Rhode Island. I know that. Now, when I wasn't going out, it didn't really bother me. But now, like I said, I'm going out on average once a week. And I'm going to places like restaurants and I'm sitting down and I'm a little, you know, because sometimes I just feel sickly. There's really no other way to put it. I do want to get one of those thermometers, but I feel good. Like I said, you know, I want to stress that. I feel pretty okay. I mean, the AC is running on me. I feel pretty comfortable. I'm reasonably medicated like I normally was. I think it had more to do with the fact that I really didn't do a whole lot this week, which was like really good. So hopefully I can kind of keep this up. I'll be back to whatever passes for a normal format for me next week. Will be probably news, of course. And I don't know. I might work a couple songs in there, maybe just an intro and an outro just to kind of ease back into the music. That might be kind of nice. You know, I always like playing an intro song because it sets the tone. It allows me to set an energy level and, you know, going in and whatnot. I do want to speak to John about getting a couple of specific pieces of production for something that I have in mind. But that's all separate. That's a horse of another color, as they say. But I think that's it. I think that's all I got. I think that's all I got this week. And that comes in a little bit around an hour. Just short of an hour. Just you have to be this tall to... No. that being said, let me do my plugs because it's always nice to plug the people who care about you. 11LR and I, you go to the top of the you go to lfmidwood.com, you go to some Midwood Files, you go to the top of the page or the side of the page if you're an Android or I don't even know what this thing looks like, an Apple. And you click 11LR and I, and that's going to take you over to John Lightning's site, and there's going to be John's archives and Dave's archives and Big Steve Cole's archives and my archives. And, well, that's about it. That's all he's got going on over there. But, oh, he also has a links list. But that's enough to keep people going. Seriously, don't you think? I think. And then if you head all the way over to the right, our good friend Brad Reed over there at Grits Radio, running the show on the stream. Thank you, Brad. Appreciate it. You got links. My social media is there. Now that I got the camera, I'll probably become a bit more active on Instagram. Something other than selfies. Nothing wrong with selfies, but, you know, I love these Instagram accounts where it's like nothing but selfies. It's ridiculous. What else is going on here? Oh, yeah, I got my links and whatnot. You know, the social media thing, you know, I have to assume that there's still some sort of major purge going on over there at Facebook. Oh, speaking of which, I think Facebook actually, I think they purged Antifa stuff, and I think they purged Q stuff. I know why I talked about how... friggin' Twitter had apparently done a lot of Q purging of Q accounts. But I think Facebook did the same thing. I think they also purged Antifa stuff, which is really kind of interesting to a certain degree. That's, again, censorship, whether it be on the left or on the right. It's a whole other conversation. But there's a lot of censorship for right-wingers going on, and it has been for a lot longer than whatever minimal efforts have been taken against Antifa. All right, so now that I've yammered all over that, let me get out of here. I'll be back next week, and I appreciate, once again, any however you imbibe the program, whether it be live or whether it be download, it's always appreciative that you take the time. Again, I know there's a lot of media out there, so that the fact you would even take an hour out of your life to listen to me makes me all warm and fuzzy inside. So, that being said, let me play the outro. I think I got it loaded up already, and I'll see you next week. Bye.
You've been listening to the Midwood Files on Radio New York International. Thanks for listening.